in my personal life and in our life as a congregation. We have with us this morning Pastors Joseph and Lila Gyar from Hungary. Now, I'm sure that those of you who've been out of high school longer than 12 months would have difficulty remembering where Hungary is, so I will give you just a few details. Smaller than Ohio, Hungary is a little mid-eastern country with a population of 10 million and a history of 1,100 years. Americans just love being wowed by big numbers, you know. Budapest, the capital of Hungary, has a population of 2 million people, and according to the tourists, is the nicest in all of Europe. And I could say amen to that, having been there. Hungary as a whole has 10 million people, 60% who are Roman Catholic, 20% Protestant, 20% declare themselves atheists. Out of 10 million, 60,000 people are born-again Christians, which is less than half of 1%. And so the Lord has appointed Pastor Joseph to the television station throughout the country. And the Lord is continuing to expand that ministry so that the testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and His present-day miracle power is happening through this relatively insignificant group of people out of a group of 10 million, and yet they're affecting the whole nation. Isn't that something? Sounds just like the Lord, doesn't it? I have copies of both of these brochures in the lobby. Please feel free to take them as you go. I met Joseph through mutual friends, Bob and Mary Jane Wright, and I can say that of all my travels, these two people manifest the greatest excellence in hospitality of anywhere I have ever been hosted. They're extraordinary in that gift. The Lord has allowed me the privilege of ministering His word and demonstrations of His power within their local congregation. And it is a sweet and precious fellowship that they have there. I've had a chance to meet both their children, Benjamin, and their vibrant daughter worship leader, Johanna. And they are just genuine expressions of the fruit of a godly home. I'm delighted to bring to you this morning my dear friends, Joseph and Lila Gyar. And I ask you if you would stand and give them a warm Southern Maryland welcome.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I am a little bit embarrassed, even though we met Lenny probably 3 years ago in a Middle East Coast regional pastor conference or like this, Atlantic somewhere in between, and I met Lenny in Ukraine also. And we were together with Michael. Where is Michael Wagner? With the kids somewhere? So, and Michael Wagner too. And some other sister from the church. And it was a blessing for us to have Lenny in our church. Actually, a year ago when Lenny was mentioning a subject in Ukraine, I asked him to come and preach that specific subject in our church, and the title was The Authority of the Conscience. So it was a great teaching, and personally it helped me a lot, and for our church also. So, sorry, my English is not the best, but I try to do my best. Sometimes I do some mistakes. I will mention later. I will mention one. I have been in a church in Ohio, and I met the pastor and the mission director. From that church, a couple was sent to Hungary as missionaries. And the missionary brother told me briefly the story of the church. They have just came out from a liberal reformed church, and they were in a transition period. And they were very kind with me. We were talking, four of us, the pastor told that now we close this little meeting with a prayer. And I told to the pastor, sorry, before you close the meeting with a prayer, I would like to share something what God put on my heart. And the pastor thought, okay, go ahead. And I told to him with very serious face, as I understood, you are in transgression. And the pastor became a little bit embarrassed. Maybe we are. And finally I realized what I said. Oh, sorry, I realized that you are in transition, so I mixed the words. So I made a more fatal mistake in Dwayne's church in Sioux Falls. I told to the congregation, did you know that your pastor is very unique? Unique. So I mix even these two words. So, but I didn't do it purposely. But first of all, I would like to introduce you my wife, Lila, and we serve the Lord together. And our marriage based not only that we love each other, but we serve the Lord with our heart, and that's how we met in the church. And this was our personal goal always, to serve the Lord. And now we serve our Lord Jesus Christ for 24 years together. And and you know, I like to walk with my wife. She's a little bit shame. Okay. I like to walk with my wife because the people say that, oh, what a nice couple. And when she walks alone, the people say, oh, what a nice lady. But when I walk alone, nobody says anything. So, okay. So, 4 years ago, me and the head of our Free Christian Church, we appointed my wife. My wife, we inaugurated her to the role of operational pastor, which is pretty rare in Hungary. I can say maybe she is the only one woman pastor in Hungary. And operative pastor means that she does the majority of the job. And really, she is a great help for me. So, please.
Én magyarul fogok beszélni.
She will speak in Hungarian.
Ki hallott magyar nyelvet beszélni?
Who heard speaking some Hungarian words already?
Somebody here?
Probably Lenny.
Oh. most fogtok hallani.
You will hear now Hungarian words.
Én is nagyon örülök, hogy itt lehetek.
I'm very happy to be here with you.
Igazán megtiszteltetés, köszönjük a lehetőséget.
It's a great privilege for us to be with you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Nagyon-nagyon hálás vagyok az Úrnak azért, hogy az Isten népe az egy.
I'm very grateful to God because the body of Christ is one.
Annyira éreztem a Szent Szellemnek a kedves jelenlétét most itt közöttetek.
I felt the kind presence of the Holy Spirit being with you.
És ez annyira jó, hogy a Szent Szellem mindenhol egyforma.
And it is so great that the Holy Spirit is the same everywhere.
Nagyon pici van a szívemben, amit szeretnénk megosztani veletek.
I have a very brief message what I would like to share with you.
Ez igazán megérintette a szívemet, egy kijelentés volt nekem.
Actually this was a personal revelation for me from the gospel.
Az apostolok cselekedetei 9. részben van egy szó egy nőről.
In the 9th chapter of Acts there is one word about a Christian lady.
Dorcasnak hívták.
And her name was Dorcas.
És az van megírva a Bibliára van róla, hogy jót tett.
And it is written about her simply that she has done good.
És tudjátok a történetet, ugye?
Probably you know the whole story.
Nem fogom elmondani végig.
I won't tell it, all of it.
De azt tudjátok, hogy ez a hölgy meghal.
So this sister Dorcas was died.
És aztán jön a Péter és feltámasztja őt.
And Peter resurrected her from the dead.
És ez nekem azt mondta, hogy ugyanúgy én is ma tehetek jót, bárhol, ahova megyek.
Ez
a történet azt mutatja nekem is, hogy bárhova, ahova mehetek.
So once it is written about her that she done good, or like this, she had good acts, and it showed me that I can do good works too.
És a következő részben az apostolok cselekedete 10. rész 36. versében.
And the next chapter of Acts in the 10th chapter 36th verse.
Azt írja, hogy ahogy Jézust felkente a Szentlélek és szerte jár és jót tett.
As Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and going everywhere and doing well, doing good.
Dorcas is biztos bizonyára jót tett.
Dorcas was the same way, she did good things.
Ő ingeket osztogatott és jó dolgokat adott fizikailag az embereknek.
She has given clothes which she made. She has given these clothes to the people.
És amit megértettem ebből,
what I understood from this story,
hogy tehetek sok jó dolgot fizikailag.
I can do lot of good things physically.
De amikor engem a Szent Szellem felken, hogy jót tegyek, az teljesen más.
But when the Holy Spirit anoints me for the good work, it is a different thing.
Ez engem nagyon-nagyon megérintett, és tudom, hogy fel vagyok kenve arra, hogy jót tegyek.
And I was touched by the scripture place, and as I understood this whole rhema for me, and I know about myself that I have this anointing in me to do good works for the Lord.
És ugyanúgy mindannyian fel vagyunk kenve.
And you also and we all together as his disciples we are anointed to do good works.
És amikor fel vagyunk kenve, az nem csak fizikailag jelenti azt, hogy jót tegyünk, hanem szerte járni, ahogy Jézus tette.
So we have to do the same what Jesus did, going everywhere and doing good.
És ezt kívánom nektek is, hogy legyetek felkenve arra, hogy amerre csak jártok, jót tegyetek.
And this is my desire toward you that be strong in this anointing and wherever you go, do good things.
So God bless you. I love you so much. And thank you.
I can say the same that I feel myself absolutely at home, not only because I knew your pastor already and his wife and some wonderful people from your church, but because during the worship time and the praying time I felt absolutely myself at home. And so I am very excited. First of all, let me share a very fresh experience with God's providing, about God's providing. The way as we were driving here, it was approximately probably 1.5 hours before, suddenly three deers run across the road, and unconsciously I pushed the brake only a little bit, and I missed the first one with 2 inches maybe, and the second one was just at the car 2 inches, but we drive through. So it was really, and this is Mary Jane's van. She loaned for us, and she was very nervous when she understood that we want to drive to New York last week. And so the van escaped from New York, but God provided again. So, praise the Lord. Maybe I'm still nervous a little bit. I have some tension because of this experience. But God is good. So I have a message in my heart. You know, I enjoy the Christian life. I delight that we follow not a law or a moral level, but we follow a personal God. We follow Jesus, who died for us, and that's why I am his follower, because he is who he is. It is so simple for me, and I delight always in the personality of Jesus and what he has done for us. And as Paul wrote about himself, that he is ready, he was ready, and he is ready always to put aside everything and to focus on Jesus, to more, much more about him. So this is my desire, to know more and more about him. And briefly, I would like to share with you about the freedom what we have as Christian in Christ. You know, we grew up under the communism. I don't want to speak too much about this, but can you imagine that, for example, even in the high school, if you would tell your opinion publicly what you thought about the regime or whatever, you would have been in real danger. And that's why everybody was silent. So it wasn't liberty, it wasn't freedom at all. And you Americans, you are in a very good situation because you never faced these type of things. But when Jesus speaks about freedom and being free, it is totally another thing. You know, back a little bit to our regime, after the communism collapsed, now we have, let's say, democracy. It's a very handicap, but we have somehow. And but it didn't solve the basic problem of the people at all. I don't say that it is wrong. It is better than was before. But the basic problem, the fundamental problem of the mankind is sin, and not the different societies or regimes or whatever. And when Jesus speaks about freedom, for example, when the disciples realized that Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he was with them for 40 days after he was risen, And the disciples told to him, now this is the time to give back our freedom as the nation of Israel. And Jesus told to them, this is with God, these things, you will have another task. And because they were living under oppression. And if somebody lives under oppression, he understood more about the freedom. He evaluate much more, the appreciate the freedom much more. So, but Jesus, in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, told that if you want to be my disciples, remain in my word, in my scripture. Maybe I will write it. I will read it, not write it. John wrote it by the Holy Spirit. I would have been able to to write this type of amazing things. So it is 8th chapter of John, the 31st verse, from the 31st verse. To the Jewish who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. From my childhood, I really wanted to taste it, what's the real freedom, because I grew up under oppression of the communism, and I was very rebellious against the communism, and I never accepted this. After I was saved, God told me, you have to love the people, even the communist people, even the Russians, but because that time the Russian army was there in Hungary. But I didn't like the communism even after I was saved, because the whole idea was, the basic purpose was of communism to destroy the identity of the people. So, but Jesus speaks here about the real freedom, what he brought for the whole mankind. And the Jewish followers of Jesus misunderstood him also, and they replied, I think there was some proudness in them, because they were in oppression, but they replied, we never were slaves to anyone, we are Abraham's descendants. But Jesus told to them, who commits the sin is the slave of the sin, but if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So this was Jesus' answer to the people who had an absolute different thought or definition about the freedom. And before I became a Christian, my biggest problem was, I was in deep depression otherwise for 3 years. I wasn't able to sleep. And I was in the very same situation as Solomon was in the Ecclesiastes, when he says, vanity, everything vanity. So this was my not everyday feeling, not every hour feeling, not every minute feeling. It was my every second feeling. Vanity, everything. I wanted to shake the people and to tell them, your life is a vanity and my life also vanity. And my biggest problem was in that time not only that the life was too harsh for me, my girlfriend left, and several other things happened to me when I was 18 years old, but my basic problem was that I have had my own, my moral standards, and I wasn't able to live according my moral standards, which was far away from God's standards. Actually, I didn't care about God's standards because I wasn't a believer, but I have had a certain level, moral level, but I set before me. And my biggest problem was always that I wasn't able to fulfill my standards. And finally I realized this was a bigger problem for me than the bad things what the life caused me. And I found myself exactly the same situation what Paul wrote probably about himself in the 7th chapter in the Romans letter, speaking about a man who lives under the law. So I have had my own laws, my own moral standards, but I realized that I am not strong enough to carry them out, so to live according my moral standards. So finally I got to the point that I wasn't able to live how I wanted to live. And in this situation, finally I got to the point that if there is God somewhere, only He can help me. Only. And that's how I started purposely searching after God, and maybe after a year searching period, suddenly I met Him and Jesus changed my life, I can say, in a second. And when I heard preaching about Jesus, all my cells replied that He is the one, He is the solution. He is the only one. I wanted to find Him in everywhere, but I never found Him. But now this is the Jesus. I don't know too much about Him, but He is the one. So my spirit and all my cells, I can say, reply that He is the one. And you know so my repentance was very radical. I changed so rapidly, I can say immediately, on a lot of areas that I had to pinch myself whether this was the same person, because my attitude, my mentality, my thinking of faith changed immediately. Even I wasn't able to follow the change what was going in me. And I had to stop. Actually, I stopped to visit the church for a month. It's not a good thing, but the change was so radical that I wasn't able to follow it, and I had to sit down and catch up with my mind what happened to me. And after I wanted to go to the church, of course, but I had to put together the thing. And you know, what I realized immediately when I became a Christian, that in Jesus there is the power to rule over the sin. He set me free from a lot of bad things. I even don't want to mention them. My parents was at the point already to kick me out from the family even, because I was a wild boar. So the depression can turn in 1 second to aggression. And I was living this way. And I hated myself, and I was bad. But God changed me. And as I started to grow in my Christian life, I realized that around me the Christians were complaining that, the sin is so big. And I told myself, I need maybe some months and I will be perfect. So I thought about myself. But actually in Jesus, all we are perfect. New creation. In this point of view, we are perfect, all of us. But later on, I realized that I have to work through myself, so to combine all the scriptures and to understand how to live a victorious life. And 4 years later, after I was saved, I became youth leader in my maternal church, and I have had quite a strong temptation, even though I was always solid in my Christian life, and I never committed big things or like this. But as the temptations were pretty diligent, yeah. And I kept myself as a good Christian, you know. Oh, I'm in the Lord. I don't see this. I don't see that. I walk in faith. I follow Jesus. But finally, I thought to myself, when Jesus walked in Jerusalem, he didn't do the same. Oh, I don't see this. I don't see that. And I was thinking about the real freedom. And finally, I realized it is not real freedom, even though I'm okay. I didn't commit any bad things, big things. But in my heart, somewhere I felt that there is much more in Jesus. And I was thinking months about this subject, always. How to be real, how to find real freedom in Jesus. And I was sitting in a home meeting, a prayer meeting, and I don't know what was the subject there, but I was thinking about my subject, you know, how to be free. And suddenly the Holy Spirit revealed me the scripture place from the Romans letter chapter 6, where it is written, the old man was sacrificed with Jesus on the cross. So the old man died. And we died for the sin. And the sin doesn't have authority or power, doesn't have power over us, because we live under the grace and not under the law. And it was a rhema for me, and it really set me free. So I really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And since that moment on, I knew that I had the key. I don't say that we don't have temptations. We have, and we will have until we live in this flesh. But if I know my position in Christ, that I am his son, and the son remains there in the house always, and Jesus came to not only to forgive my sin, what I committed, but he came to give us, all of us, the whole mankind who believes in him, he gives the power to rule over the sin. And that's the key of the victorious life. And in Hungary, I realized, even in charismatic or Pentecostal circles, that I don't know exactly, that maybe the 60% of the believers doesn't live a victorious life. They struggle always, you know. They commit something and they come and confess it. I live absolutely by grace. But when I realize that I am the Son of God because I believe in Jesus, and God empowered us actually with the same power, the resurrected power of Jesus Christ dwells in us, in me, and I have the power to rule over the sin. And now the sin doesn't have the authority to rule over me. It does have power, yeah, But in Christ, we have authority to rule over the sin. And once I understood this biblical concept, my whole life totally changed. When I face with a situation or a temptation, my first thought is that I am Son of God. I have the power over the sin, and the sin doesn't have power over me. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. And, you know, not only I delight in my personal life. It doesn't mean that I am perfect, as my wife. But I'm trying to be better and better. But with the grace of God, we can do it. But, you know, I delight the oneness of Jesus Christ, because only He is the one. He came and gave us, actually He saved us from the sin and gave us the power to rule over the sin. And when I meet people from other religions, let's say Buddhist or Krishna believers or Muslim people, and if I realize that he or she is a real committed believer in his or her belief, I ask him about his practical life, and I ask him, are you able to fulfill all the commandments, what is written to you in your holy book? And if they are honest, they tell that, no, we are not able to fulfill the commandments, because they are not able to fulfill the commandments, because there is an other law in our flesh, the power of the sin, the law of the sin, which has more power than the law has, even God's law, according to Romans chapter 7. But if these people from the other religions, they are honest, I make them facing with the real problem, and I tell them, only Jesus can set you free, because it is written, if the Son set you free, you are free indeed. And that's the good news, that we are not only an other religion, you know, or, you know, this New Age things try to synthesize everything, and, oh, you have some belief, that's okay, I have some other belief, that's all fine, we are brothers. Yeah, in some meaning, yes, and we have to show them love, always, love and mercy, love and mercy. But I always emphasize to them, I believe in God, the Father of Jesus Christ. He is my God, Father of Jesus Christ. And I explain to them from this point of view, approaching from their everyday life, because if somebody is a committed believer, even though he's not a Christian, he has to face the same problem, that he is not able to fulfill his commandments, what was given to him. And I speak boldly about the gospel, the power of the gospel, the power of Jesus Christ, what Jesus has given us. And, you know, there is a tendency among the Christians also to be legalistic, you know. And it is a big danger. And I think all of us personally has to deal with this issue. We have our own personal legalism sometimes, even though I was always rebellious, and after I was saved, probably not, but before I was very much. But even I did for myself some laws, and I became a little bit legalistic, and so it's a real danger for every person, every Christian. But there are some churches who are legalistic. I don't want to expose them or speak against them, but it's like an observation. And recently I was in a meeting where a Christian man, and I wasn't sure what kind of belief he had or what kind of church background he had, and he was speaking about moral laws about the, from the Bible, and even one times he didn't mention the word grace, not at all. He spoke always about the commandments, and God told this, and we have to fulfill His commandments, and so on, and so on. And at the end of the meeting, I asked him, "Are you a seven-day Sabbatist?" And he answered yes, and he asked me, "How did you know?" "Because you didn't mention the grace at all." Actually, they are this way in Hungary. I don't know. There are several branches maybe in the Seventh-day Adventist Church also. But he never mentioned even one time the word grace. But that's the key for our victorious Christian life, that we live under the grace of God, and we have the power to rule over the sin. And once we understand this, and we need a personal revelation from God. It's not a, like a general teaching, like a logos, but all of us personally, we need a rhema from God about this subject. And since that moment on, you will know in your heart that I have the key. I have the power to live a victorious life. Before I was saved, I was very much involved in sports. I was the member of the national junior volleyball team in Hungary. Even though I was the shortest one, I am not tall even now. I did a lot of sports. And, you know, when I started my sport career, you know, the trainer select, there were 40, 15 years old guys together. And the trainer selected them, and 36 was sent away to playing volleyball on three courts. So three times 12, it makes, you understand the volleyball regulations. And the four handicapped who rest, go somewhere in the corner and play against the wall with the ball. And I was one of these four, you know. But in my heart, the very first moment, I knew that I can be much better. It is not fair. I am much better, even though I realized I was pretty invalid, you know, there. But I realized that in my heart, it was the conviction, that I was convicted that I am much better. And finally, when we graduated from the high school, I was the captain of the first team from the same people. Because I knew always in my heart that I have something in me. And that's how the scripture or the power of God is dwelling in us. We know that even though, let's say that you committed 70 times the same sin, and you think about yourself, there is no way to get out from here. The pastor already prayed for you, and you have shame to come again and to tell the same, I have still the same problem. But if you catch this scripture that you have the power over the sin, and maybe the sin will be victorious over you the next 10 times again, but one you will win. And after maybe 5 defeat again, and you won again, and this will be your practice, winning, and that's how you become totally victorious, even though it could happen in 1 second. But I would like to use another example. I was playing table tennis with my friend in the high school, and he beat me always. And as I was standing there and I looked his weaknesses, and I thought to myself, one day I will be better than him. And we played, and he beat me always. I even never won a set, you know. But this conviction was in my heart that one day I will win. And one day I won. And he told me it was just accidentally. And I told to him it wasn't. Even though after 20 games he won again. But I won the 21st one. And after he was better for again 10 games. But after I won again. And finally the transition happened and I won always. But because I knew in my heart, and that's how God puts in you the seed, the scripture, that you have the power over the sin. And don't put your hands up that, oh, the sin is bigger than me. And, oh, my father was the same way, and I am also the same way, you know. No, we are sons of God, and the son remains always with the family. And who commits the sin is the slave of the sin. But we were set free by Jesus Christ from the sin, and we have the power to rule over the sin. And this is what I want to share with you and encourage you, that based absolutely on the scripture and the grace of God, this is our bread for sons from God. This is our inheritance in Christ. The scripture tells us that as Jesus was in the Word, sent to the Word, we are like He was in the Word. So, and Jesus was always victorious. And this is our position, to be sons and daughters of God. And don't be afraid from the sin, and be encouraged that the Scripture and the Holy Spirit and you together, you are more than victorious over the sin. So God bless you, and I wish you, all of you, to enjoy the Christian life. Amen. Hallelujah.
Good job, guys. We found them. Oh, I appreciate the excellence of the people around here. Let me grind this into our understanding. It's the manner in which we conduct ourselves here. It's from 3 John. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne the witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. Because they went forth for His namesake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. And I testify that this congregation has that reputation in the earth among every ministry that the Lord sends to us. And I glory in that. I'm going to need two strong guys up here real quickly. I want to receive an offering this morning. I'd like both two of you to go to the platform and stand either side of the podium and just be ready to do with it as I instruct you in a moment. So, brethren, if you come, make your checks out to Prague. Every penny that comes in goes to the place we designated as a matter of integrity, as far as I'm concerned, before the Lord. Now, while they're doing that, I want to illustrate something for you. Slide this right to the edge here, gentlemen, if you would. One of the reasons that it is necessary for us to hear the kind of encouragement that Joseph has brought to us today is because we lack perspective. We quickly forget in the flailings of our own human flesh what God has actually done for us. So I want to show you, if I can, illustrate for you what you just heard, so that we are able to apprehend and move around with the information we already have. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Even if you understood what I was talking about, wouldn't that be a good start? See, we have lots of insights from God that we don't know how to move around with because the ceiling in which we operate is too low for us to ever stand upright. Now, I want you to consider what he said, that even as one who did not know Christ, he had a certain moral standard for himself. And he just couldn't measure up to it. And then he comes to Christ, and now he has the Word of God. Yet it is all true. Another standard to which you cannot measure up. And the reason is, we've spent our whole life battling with the devil. Always from the puny position. Always expecting assault. Always expecting to be tripped up. Always being caught off guard by this lion that seeks to devour me. Put this down here. But what's actually taken place is that there's been a tremendous change of perspective. No longer does the law, the moral code, or the devil, the thing that I have to deal with. The only thing left for me to deal with is being led by the Spirit of God. Because if I'm a son, then I have been elevated above all of those things. Because I am in Christ who is above all those things. Now, what the Word does for me at this point is not equip me to fight a big enemy, because he's already been triumphed over. It is not for me to handle the Word in such a fashion that I've now got to bear 1,357 rules. Rather, it's simply to be a light to my path, so that as I walk along above these things, when they reach out to trap me, to trip me up, to grab me by the ankle, which is the only power they have left, to cause me to stumble. I mean, if I'm careless and I stumble. Sorry, Lord. Let's start over. And that's the extent of it. If I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me, and I go on my way. I don't stop and get back down underneath the load of that thing anymore. Because I'm a son. I'm free. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is not a burden for me to execute. Because when the Gentiles, how did Paul say it? When the Gentiles who have not the law satisfy the command, the demands of the law, they become a law unto themselves. How do they do that? For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Isn't that liberating? If we just don't lose it. Thank you so much, Joseph, for reminding us of the truth. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because now I'm the meanest dude in the valley. I mean, it's a paraphrase, but isn't that what the Bible says? That we are more than conquerors? I mean, the devil wants to draw down on me. He's making a big mistake. He wants to step on me. He's going to get a nail in his foot. Because the Lord has caused us to be seated with Him in heavenly places. That's our present reality. Do you understand? Isn't this good? Now look, if you're here this morning and you haven't come into that freedom, I can tell you with authority, Joseph wants to pray for you this morning that you have that freedom. If you're here as a believer today and you're still trying to come to the place where you personally can pull off this whole Christian thing, brother, whoever you are, you need to just relax. Having begun in the Spirit, will you now be perfected by the efforts you make with your flesh? No. See, we bear fruit because the seed of fruit is in us. We exercise peace because the seed of peace is in us. We are something. Consequently, we affect change. But we are not something because we affect change. You understand? So let's stand and bless God, give opportunity for the Lord to just bring peace and refreshing and rest our minds. The gospel we have is a great and glorious thing. It testifies that in Christ we have been made free. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. Father, we stand before you this morning as a people who have been ravished by all manner of things. We have been under the hands of unruly spiritual overseers. We have lived by patterns of legalism. We have been those who have set high moral standards for ourselves and failed repeatedly and allowed the failure of the commandment that we created to be the thing that condemns us, along with the failure to obey your word, which we have seen as a legalistic requirement for us to excel to, that we never have the ability to rise above, and we've let that condemn us. But today, we remember again that there is therefore now no condemnation to in Christ Jesus, those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And these blessed people, Father, have labored to enter into the rest that releases us from striving. I speak peace and blessing. I speak liberty afresh today because you have reminded us in the testimony of this man of God what we have received in Jesus Christ. The Son has set us free. We are free. We are free. We are free indeed. Now, if there are any of you here who labor under the bondage of legalism, if you're here this morning and you've been unable to connect with the Spirit of wisdom and revelation on this particular vital and important truth, I invite you to the altar of God. Let's call upon His name and get set free in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, the altar is open, brothers. Let's get this thing back up here on the platform out of the way. I want to remind you that there are, thank you, gentlemen, that there are a couple of brochures in the lobby that you're free to take with you as you go. I want to remind you to greet our guests from the Hispanic Baptist Church across the way. If you need prayer, we invite you to come. If not, we invite you to fellowship with one another. Those of you who would like to, feel free to greet Joseph and Leela as soon as we determine that the stuff we need to do at the altar is finished. Who is the prophetic lead today? Who? Susan. You got anything? Okay, good. Well, you can come this way or go that way. Suit yourself. Bless you.